माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपी गोपी जनावल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्द यशोदनन्दना ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दना ब्रज जन यमुनातिरावनचारी यमुनातिरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी आयो जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया यमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की हरिनाम संकीर्तन की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिके रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड द सैक्रिफाइस परफॉर्म बाय दक्षा वर्स नंबर 60 एतद् भगवता संभोः कर्म दक्षद्वरद्रुहः श्रुतं भगवता चिष्याद् उद्धवान् मे बृहस्पते एतद् भगवता संभोः कर्मदक्षाध्वरद्रुहः श्रुतं भागवत चिच्छात् उद्धवान् मे बृहस्पते एतद् भगवतः शम्भोः कर्मदक्षाध्वरद्रुहः श्रुतं भागवता शिष्यात् उद्धवान् मे बृहस्पते तद्भगवता शम्भोः कर्मदक्षाध्वराद्रुहः श्रुतं भागवता शिष्यात् उद्धवान् मे बृहस्पते माताजि एतद्भगवतः शम्भोः कर्मदक्षाध्वराद्रुहः उद्धवात्मे बृहस्पते एतद् दिस् भगवतः आफ् द पसेसर् आफ् आयिल् ओपुलेन्सेस् शम्भोः आफ् शम्भु लार्ड् शिवा कर्म स्टोरि दक्ष अध्वरद्रुहः हु डिवास्टेटेड् द सेक्रिफैस् आफ् दक्ष श्रुतम् was heard bhagavatat from a great devotee shishyat from the disciple udhavat from udhav me by me brihaspate of brihaspati translation by Srila Prabhupada maitreya said my dear vidura I heard the story of the daksha yagya which was devastated by Lord Shiva from Uddhava, a great devotee and a disciple of Brihaspati. We will also read the 61st verse. Idam pavitram param isha cheshtitam yasyaham ayushmam aghauhamarshanam yo nityadakarnaya nor Nukirtayed Dunoti Agam Gaurava Bhakti Bhavataha. The great sage Maitreya concluded, if one hears and again narrates with faith and devotion this story of Daksha Yagya as it was conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, then certainly one is cleared of all contamination of material existence, O son of Kuru. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितां हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते उपेशा गोपिका कांता श्रीराधाकांता नमोस्तुते तप्तकांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैता गदाधा श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे। राधा वृंदावन बिहारी भगवान की जय। सो दिस आर द लास्ट टू वर्सेस ऑफ दिस एंटायर एपिसोड ऑफ दक्ष यज्ञ। विद दिस एन एंटायर सीरीज ऑफ सेवन सिक्स चैप्टर्स ऑन दक्ष यज्ञ कंक्लूड हियर इन। व्हेन Maitreya Muni was describing this pastime. So, the last verse, as it says, if one hears and again narrates with great faith and devotion, so for by the instruction of Maitreya Muni and our authorities, we'll again hear this episode of Daksha Yagya to absolve ourselves of material contamination. Before we start our journey on the beautiful pastimes of Dhruv Maharaj from Tuesday. So this episode of Daksha Yagya, it comes in 234 verses spanning over six chapters. So today we'll just touch upon the main key events which happened in that episode and what lessons could be derived from them. So by study of scripture we gain knowledge, and by hearing from sadhus we gain wisdom. And when we put both this knowledge and wisdom into practice, that gives us realization. And with that realization, with application, we become mature. So if this dynamic process of Shastric study and application any time loses its taste, the growth of a sadhaka is stunted and he or she is very much susceptible to the forces of Maya, which are ever ready to sway the sadhaka. So one should derive, of course it's difficult, but it's a bitter pill. This is not like a YouTube talk by a new age guru who combines some scripture with some self-help, with some ego boosting and some buzzwords. That's a masala talk to make you feel good and for them to get more likes and become more popular. Bhagavatam doesn't take that approach. Bhagavatam is not here to be popular. Bhagavatam is the last shelter for, as the first canto says, for honest men and women to take refuge of. As Prabhupada says, this world is not a fit place for a gentleman, so where will they go? So Bhagavatam is that shelter. So it may not be fascinating, but it is purifying. So with that attitude, we'll just approach this. So the episode begins when the first sacrifice was being performed by Daksha, and as he enters, his effulgence is compared to the sun, which fades, which makes everyone else fade away. So of course he was a great personality, no doubt. But then everyone except, we know, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, everyone except these two get up and offer respects to him. So this angers him so much. Of course, this was not the only reason that he exploded. It was a cumulative effect of all the misgivings that he was accumulating towards Lord Shiva over time, that finally vented out in this way. So what happened that he became angry. That's the first problem. In anger, in spite of requests of all members, because this was a universal sacrifice, the greatest and the best of all people were there at that sacrifice. So he got angry and he was ready to leave. All the great personalities, they tried to stop him and say, this is the purpose of this sacrifice is for, you know, dharma. And if we perform this, the world will benefit. And this suits your position. Don't go just leaving Brahma and Shiva who are here in attendance. You denounce their presence and leave. That's very inappropriate. But anger had already overcome him, so he left. So what happened is that he prioritized his ego over dharma. That is the trap we often fall into. That also shows our dedication. That if there is a conflict of ego, are we ready to give up our service at a whim? Is that only our dedication? That if our ego is pricked, we are ready to say goodbye to dharma, our service of pleasing Krishna. So that was a fault, that he prioritized ego over dharma. That created the whole fiasco. And it is said he went back to his home. Now this home it's not just a place, it's also a concept. Home basically means your bubble of identity and proprietorship. Home doesn't need to be your home. It could be your group. It could be your position. Whatever gives your ego solace, that is here referred to as home. Because that, in that sphere, nobody questions our authority. So everyone, although nobody cares for each other in this world, but at their home, they are the king. Undisputed. So therefore, you know, our mind seeks shelter. When there's too much negativity, we feel, I need a positive environment where people accept me as I am. Please, for some time, I'm improving. But so it's a natural need of human beings. It's ironical that when we want to be loved, we are most vulnerable because we are exposing all our shortcomings. We want to be accepted as it is. But are we ready to accept others with their shortcomings? So it is when it comes to us, we are selfish. That I'll be careful who I make friends with, or this person doesn't have this quality. So we are very calculative, but when we seek acceptance, we want people to be broad-minded. So love in this world is actually ironical or contradictory. Selfless love cannot basically exist, as Lord Chaitanya says. So home is that concept. So he went home basically to, you know, I used to feel when I was working that, you know, in my life my boss is so important. I mean, what the way I work, the way I, number of hours I spend, what I do, one day, 1 year, you know, from zero to N, whatever number of years I work, it'll all depend on him. But then I thought one day, as soon as he walks out of the corporate office building, even the panwala doesn't respect him. He has to pay him 3 rupees for his pan or whatever. So that influence is very limited. Everyone's sphere of influence is very limited. So they are not bosses to a great extent. So we should not be proud, you know. Then the way Daksha created a narrative, that was also very dangerous. He made a personal issue into a class issue. This is the tendency. In fact, if a person is intelligent, he can distort the meaning of things even more in a better or rather worse way. So Daksha said, Lord Shiva, it was his personal problem with Lord Shiva, but he's saying Lord Shiva is bringing disgrace to all the governors of the universe. Pure Brahman jat ka naam kharab kar raha hai. Are, why are you doing this categorization? It's not true. So this is just to, when there is no substance in our argument, we use this to support stereotyping, labeling. These are things which are generally the tool of the weak. If somebody doesn't have an argument to talk to you point by point, they do this. He created the scene as if it was everyone's loss by Lord Shiva's so-called misbehavior, which was not actually true. And he distanced himself away. He said, he is supposed to be my subordinate because he's married my daughter, but I don't consider him my subordinate. He's so ill-behaved. So the relationship doesn't matter. If you see a fault, you immediately distance yourself from that person. So this way, Daksha built up an entire narrative about the fault of Lord Shiva, which was much more bigger than the real issue. Then what happened is he left, but another problem happens when there are dedicated followers of immature people. So then Nandishwara started cursing and Daksha's party started counter-cursing. So they were not actually the affected party. They should not have taken it so seriously. But the cursing and counter-cursing started. Prabhupada writes, the entire issue was so complicated that those who were not strong enough forgot their position, and thus cursing and counter-cursing went on in that great assembly. So Prabhupada is indicating that it only the weak-minded got carried away. And because strength is in restraint, strength is not in letting go. Parikshit Maharaj did not counter-curse. Chitraketu Maharaj did not counter-curse. So those are our real role models. So what happens if there is conflict in devotees? How do we handle that? Because it's nature of the material world that two different minds will have different opinions. There will be a difference of opinion, conflict of thought. So we should not be surprised. We should be prepared. So envy is definitely, there's no place for envy amongst devotees. But conflict and competition, how do we deal with that? So in that issue, the objective of resolving that conflict should be directed by how should service continue? How should service not get stopped? Let this be the main objective, and then we'll resolve conflicts based on this. So we'll see this very beautifully come up in the character of Brahmaji. Vaishnav society, the imperfections don't go away, but love makes them fade away. So in Vaishnav society, the nature of love is to accept imperfections which are around us. It is not that we surround ourselves with perfect people. That will never happen. So more one is in love, the more he overlooks imperfections. So that should be the model of functioning of Vaishnav society. So the problem with Daksha was that he made that an ego issue. He made it, rather than the real issue, he made it an ego issue. So the problem with the ego is, ego doesn't see issues. Ego only sees identity. When two religion, there are fights and friction between two religion, the actual issues are like left and forgotten, and egocentric identity and fights take the larger shape. We all have experience and observation of this. So those people are called dharma dhvajis, those who bear the symbols of religion, but they have actually no idea of the real religion. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this term dharma dhvajis. When one is not genuinely intrinsically spiritual or religious or any, you know, fitting to any ideology, be it even politics, the more one is hollow within, the more they need symbols from outside. So we should be very careful in what decides are we selecting people based on their externals, their symbols, which anyone could use to fake them. In fact, the power of emotion is so much, you know, if somebody is in pain, and that the power of emotion is so well manipulated or copied in dramas or in movies. The actual actor is not suffering, but he's putting on a show of suffering. But that attracts public sympathy and gives them a lot of income when the movie sells. So that is adopting externals to exploit or to manipulate the minds of the masses. So we should be very careful of that. Then Bhrigu Muni himself starts counter-cursing. So when such a situation is happening, imagine there are two leaders and you are also part of that group and they are counter-cursing each other. Whose side will you take? Whose side should the members of that sacrifice take? Lord Shiva's or Daksha's? So what do you think actually is the right thing to do? Any suggestions? Not those who remember the chapter. Okay. Don't take sides. That's true. That's good. But yeah. Step one is don't take side. Step two is take the side of dharma. So that's what some of the unnamed priests who are not spoken about in entire 234 verses except in two verses, what they did, they continued sacrifices. Not for 6 months, for thousands of years. That was their faith in dharma, can you imagine? So the big personalities, the curses, nothing impressed them or disturbed them. They had dharma so deeply imbibed in their heart. They knew, they were convinced that this is what we are here for and this is what works, so let's do it. Simple, but not that simple to implement. So, the sages took no sides, as Shyamprasad Prabhu said. But, more importantly, they continued their dharma. So the problem, in the face of trials and crisis, the biggest test for us is to continue our dharma. Seva will go on. That how will seva go on? That should be our real concern. That is what was illustrated by these brahmanas. Then some time passed, and then to make the episode more exciting, even though Daksha was inimical towards Lord Shiva, he was envious. Everyone knew it. But Brahmaji, what did he do? He appointed Daksha as the chief prajapati. That made his pride inflate 10 times, 100 times more. So, what are your thoughts about this? Somebody who has issues, if he's put in a very impactful or influential position, how would you react? We'll answer this later, as the storyline moves. So then Daksha, he got designated as chief prajapati. He performed more sacrifices because that, as a prajapati, that was his dharma. Perform sacrifices. He performed Vajpayee yagya, Brihaspati sava. And then when Sati got to know that his father is performing yet another elaborate, beautiful yagya, her desire to join became prominent. Then she asked Lord Shiva, but as we know, Lord Shiva was not very happy, and in very clear words, he expressed that it is not good for you. Lord Shiva said, even if somebody has good qualities, but if he's envious, all those good qualities are like jewel on a serpent. What's the use? And Lord Shiva himself said, what was the biggest fault of Daksha? The biggest fault of Daksha was false ego. And what was born from that false ego? Anger and envy. So more we are in a competitive spirit, in an envious mood, the false ego gets bloated, and from that results anger, which then takes situation out of our controls. So if we, in the first place, that's why Trinadapi Sunichana is such a powerful tool to nip it at the bud stage. So if you are not too serious about your material designation and identity, these things will never, the process will never get triggered off in the first place. So Lord Shiva smilingly replied to Sati, but at the same time he was also hurt, because that is the nature of sharp words. They are not easily forgotten. A great personality like Lord Shiva also was facing the hurt. So he said that actually Daksha will not see you as Dakshayani, he will see you as Sati. So in seeing you, he will see me, and in insulting you, he'll derive the pleasure of insulting me. Therefore, don't go. But, and we know, we'll read. So he also gives two hints to Sati. He uses the word that Daksha is your Dehakrita. Dehakrita means giver of your body, or Dehakrita also means the cutter of your body. And then in the last verse, he says directly that if you go and something bad happens, they mistreat you, that will sa sadyo maranaya kalpate. Insult will immediately be equal to death. So he's been more unequivocal as someone could be. But Lord Shiva, ultimately, he's the wisest. He's all auspicious. So he deliberated that whether I stop her or I don't stop her, the result is going to be the same. So that left Sati in a very difficult situation. She had this affection for her family. Added to that was the anger of not being allowed to go, and the lamentation of her helplessness. So in that state of attachment and anger and lamentation, intelligence gets bewildered. So we think when we are in trouble, we'll remember these verses, but that depends on how our attachment is. If we are attached, chances are our intelligence will be bewildered. So she finally went. Lord Shiva arranged for everyone, the followers of Lord Shiva to accompany her, with Nandishwar leading from the front. But finally, we know what happened. Nobody received her properly. Why? Out of fear of Daksha. So a bad master leads innocent followers to do bad acts. They didn't have the courage to stand up to Daksha and, invite his wrath. Then a beautiful section comes where Prabhupada says that Daksha also didn't offer respects to her. She felt insulted, obviously. And she saw that there was no sacrifice, no share for Lord Shiva. So that pained her even more. So Prabhupada takes this opportunity to explain the futility of material relationships. Prabhupada says, material bodily conception is so polluting that even upon slight provocation, all of our relationships of love and affection are nullified. We may think these relations are our most treasured assets, but if they'll continue till the time there is provocation. When the test comes, it doesn't matter how long or how deep those ties of affection and love were. If one's material bodily concept is challenged, everything is nullified, Prabhupada says. This is what happened in the case of Kamsa, who drew out his sword to kill Devaki in just a moment. Bodily relationships, because, you know, we try to, our objective is the pleasure of something temporary in the material world. Whereas our pursuit should be for the eternal, for the soul. But instead of pursuing the interests of our soul, we tend to pursue the temporary things which are related to the body, because they are more convincing, they are more present, they are more gross, and they are there in front of you to see. Whereas for spiritual benefits, you need to cultivate spiritual knowledge, you need to have the right association and the right determination. So at any given point of time, the logical choice is material enjoyment, but it is not the wisest choice. Shreyas and prayas, that's the difference. Difficult to choose, but the best option to choose. So Prabhupada says bodily relationships are so transient. You know, like some signboards where there are LEDs and they flicker. So the light comes up and then it goes. And again the guy is fixing and it again comes. You're not sure if it'll come again or it'll just, you know, be gone for good. That is the meaning of transient. So bodily relationships are so transient that even though one is affectionate towards someone, a slight provocation terminates their intimacy. So we should think before we invest in relationships, in affection, in intimacy. It's not wrong, but we should be ready to face, to put those to test. When provocation comes, what will happen? That's why there is quarrel between brothers, there is quarrel in the family. In fact, in many classes, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj quotes that in US at least, even I think this is a universal thing, that most murder cases are actually between family members. That's what the police department has found. You remember hearing this? So killing, I mean, it doesn't get more extreme than killing. How can somebody kill a family member? That's what Prabhupada is trying to understand. So if we understand it by not waiting to experience, we'll save some pain and misdirected effort. Prabhupada says provocation, till the time there is no provocation, everything is nice and intimate and affectionate. But if the question comes to, basically it's selfishness. Till the time you are not disturbing my area of enjoyment, I'm your best friend. But when you question my assets, my position, or in terms of someone who's renounced, their ideologies, their opinions, then I become your enemy. So, in fact, I'll just mention, because you're talking of relationships. You know how the ISIS, for 2 years that they did such gruesome atrocities on people in Syria from 2013 to 15. When the US troops finally came in 15, how did they end up, you know, destroying the entire network of ISIS and locating where the heads are staying and killing them, you know, by locating and shooting them down? How did they know all this? They were not even allowed in that territory. So one newspaper report recently said that the wives of the senior-most ISIS leaders, they leaked those secrets to US troops. Why? Because when they were doing those abominable activities, atrocities, violence, killings, they also kidnapped young women, Yazidi women, and they were abusing them. So they justified to their wives and other family members that this is according to our law. There's nothing wrong. That if somebody is not following what our path, this is okay. So it might be okay as per their law, but humanly the wives didn't accept that in front of us you are abusing these young girls. So that created a divide between the wives and these ISIS leaders. And then when the US troops came, the wife revealed all the secrets, all the network of these people to the US troops. And that helped the CIA finish them off so fast. So that was about relationships and intimacy. Actually, Sati, why did she go? She didn't actually go to see the yagya. She actually wanted to go and defend Lord Shiva. That was her actual intention, Prabhupada writes. To convince Daksha that please give up this enviousness, let's live happily ever after. But it didn't happen. So she said that the way you are looking at us is not right. We are not materially opulent, but we are spiritually opulent. We have our opulences are of a different league altogether. We have spiritual opulences like Kardama and Devoti. They had spiritual powers. So don't look at us like we are living in simple place, and Lord Shiva doesn't have opulence. He's spiritually opulent. Your eyes don't allow to see and respect that. So you're just limiting your appreciation or criticism to material success. That's what she was saying. Prabhupada writes, this behavior of Sati is to be followed. What behavior? Suicide? No. One should be extremely careful about associating with persons who are not respectful of higher authorities. This assumes great importance in a society like ours, where we depend heavily on the parampara system and the guru and his representatives for our spiritual progress. So if somebody is demeaning them, putting allegations on senior authorities like Daksha is, blindly throwing wild accusations on Lord Shiva. So we should be very careful not to associate with such persons. That's what Prabhupada says. That is what we should learn from Sati. Actually, Sati was the wife of such a powerful person like Lord Shiva, and she was the husband of the chief progenitor. We talk of influential people in this world, but look at Sati's position. Daughter of the progenitor. So everyone owes their origin to them. So like the Kulguru, daughter of the Kulguru, or Kulguru is like, progenitor is a more a biological significant thing. And Lord Shiva is so powerful, he is the master of the universe. So we think, Prabhupada writes, there was nothing that Sati could not achieve. Still, for some reason, she was dissatisfied. So we should develop this vision of seeing dissatisfaction irrespective of classes. Generally, we feel, I was discussing this with Sridhar Nimai Prabhu, generally we feel and we paint for the poor, the hungry. But it is not just that. Even the rich are suffering. Even the most famous people are dissatisfied. They might not be as obvious and in our face as a poor beggar on the street, but in fact, they might be suffering more. Suicide happens in which classes? We know. It doesn't happen in poor classes of society. So we should develop a vision of seeing suffering throughout. We should not feel only poor people are suffering. It's not true. Then when Lord Shiva comes to know about this, he is of course angry. He creates Veerabhadra to go and finish off Daksha. And also, naturally what will happen, the sacrifice will also be destroyed. So here, Lord Shiva himself is going against Dharma. the sacrifice would have continued, dharma would have been saved. But he said, destroy Daksha, and even at the cost of ruining the sacrifice. So Gaurangpur says in this, when Lord Shiva is, Lord Brahmaji appeals to him, please forgive the demigods. He forgives, but he forgives only partially. So Gaurangpur says the offense was communal. There was counter cursing between groups. So you would think, good, theek hai, I hide in that group, and nobody comes to know who threw the brick at the bus. A group, a mob threw. So Gaurangpur said, doesn't happen like this. The offenses were communal, but the reactions were very personal. Somebody's teeth got broken, somebody's mustache got torn, and only one person's head got cut. So punishment is proportional to your offense. It is Krishna's cosmic jurisdiction, not our state laws, which, if a mob just does violence, nobody is held to account because you can't identify who did what. So, Brahmaji, obviously first he chastised the demigods that you are actually offenders. How can you have yajna without Lord Shiva? So, here Brahmaji as a leader, his concern is first for dharma. And that point which we left, that why did Brahmaji made Daksha the chief progenitor? Because that helped dharma at that time. What could he do? And now why is he chastising the same demigods? Because that helps dharma. So as an outsider, as an immature person, we will see the actions of our leaders confusing and illogical. But we don't know the underlying thread. They are working for dharma. From that perspective, everything seems okay, like perfect. Right? So, anyways. So he says, you cannot be happy. Please remember and bear in mind, if you offend a great personality like Lord Shiva, you'll never be happy. And this was going to happen. And knowing that, I also didn't come to the sacrifice, to tell you. And Vishnu, Lord Vishnu also did not come. So, then all of them, they go and approach Lord Shiva. And Lord Brahmaji says to Lord Shiva that you are the creator of dharma and you are the creator of varnashrama. So please don't do something which goes against your original interests. You have started dharma by making Daksha the agent. Now, don't let other things and anger come in way of dharma being executed. And because sometimes Lord Shiva is praised as good as Vishnu. So he's saying you have constituted Varnashram. So Varnashram has now become a very sensitive and taboo topic to talk about in society. It's fashionable to talk of a classless society, that everyone is equal. Why are you categorizing? And the way the Western media writes about Brahmanas, oh my God, Indian caste, Indian Brahmanas. And it is not true, but they are painting that fake picture to the rest of the world. So we should think about it. So Prabhupada says that this desire for a classless society is actually a manifestation of, one second, I'll just find the right word. We'll see. So, Kaliyug tendency, these are Prabhupada's words, Kaliyug tendency to make a classless society is a manifestation of an impossible dream. So they are just making hue and cry because they'll keep getting their votes, they'll keep getting their employment if they're working for social organizations. So it generates enough votes or income for them. So they'll keep shouting in favor of a classless society, but it'll never happen, Prabhupada is declaring clearly. People are irritated when somebody gets a higher status than other. They falsely think everyone is born equal. That is the premise of the constitution of some of the most developed nations of this world. But we know, if you say everyone is born equal, what about their karma? Not everyone is born equal. It is due to karma that somebody takes birth in a rich or a poor or a disabled condition. So they have no answers to this. And based on this false assumption, they are creating an entire constitution and policies and laws. Now this is extending to gender, this is extending to so many aspects of our life. So we should not get swayed away by these thoughts. Classes, Varnashram is created by Krishna so that we can align to it and proceed back and basically grow in our consciousness. That is the purpose of Varnashram. We might have a classless society, but we'll not make progress towards the divine. We'll become more material maybe. So Brahmaji was urging Lord Shiva and that as a leader, you should have a bigger picture in mind. Forget the details. Who insulted? Of course, his wife died. That is not a detail. But still, that is the nature of leadership. You have to drink that pain and rise to the occasion and decide, and you know, decide for dharma, basically. So what should be that vision a leader should have? That punishment to Daksha should not lead to cruelty to the larger society. Lord Shiva is right in punishing Daksha, but what will happen? That dharma will be disturbed. The yagya will not happen. So, even if Prabhupada actually, there is a series of classes by Ravindra Sarupro. He said, in those days, Prabhupada did appoint some leaders who were not the most qualified people. But for him, the objective was that today, for the mission to continue and grow, these are the best people. Tomorrow, I don't know. So like that, Brahmaji is appointing him as chief progenitor. So we should remember the leaders think that dharma should continue. So Prabhupada's inner desire was that somehow this movement should grow and sustain itself. So he appointed people who needed more growth at that time. But if we look back, the way they contributed to the movement is, I mean, we cannot thank them enough. So with gratitude, we should look to that and we should thank the strategy of Prabhupada that we have the movement in the shape, way and form it is today. So dharma is tested in crisis. So it's easy to, you know, wear a logo. I'm dharmic. I belong to this club. But how will we know when the test comes? When Karna was cursed, when Karna's chariot got stuck, the wheel of his chariot got stuck during the war, what did he do? He started cursing dharma. And what would Arjun do when somebody is fighting and he has to retaliate and it's very critical? He used to take the arrow and he used to chant that if I have followed dharma, let this arrow be effective. So that is the test, that is the difference between Karna and Arjuna, and all of us also in our lives, we should introspect that when it is a time of crisis, what do we do? So Lord Brahma says, you should forgive Daksha and let the yagya happen. So sometimes he also says that you only set up the system that the pious people go to Swarga and the impious people go to hell. So now why are you distorting it by sending someone pious, so-called pious like Daksha, to hell? And Ajamil, who was so-called impious, he went to spiritual world. Why are you creating these exceptions? So Brahmaji himself answers that it is your mercy upon them that you are doing this. So when there are exceptions to the rule, we should understand that this is a personal intervention by the rule maker. Now the question, very important question of justice arises, that how could a pious person go to hell? So what should be a Vaishnava's understanding of justice? We have in the entire Bhagavatam, we have not even one episode of somebody fighting for his rights, fighting for justice. I mean, as far as I recall. You remember any Bhagavatam incidents which talks about someone seeking justice? In fact, Parikshit Maharaj did the opposite. He didn't seek justice. Chitraketu Maharaj didn't seek justice. They allowed the supreme destiny, supreme will to take predominance. ठीक है तत्तेनु कंपा सुसुमेक्षमाना भगवद गीता इज अबाउट जस्टिस बिकॉज द वॉर इज विक्टरी ऑफ ट्रूथ ओवर ईविल बट वाई वी शुड नॉट फील दैट ओ जस्टिस कृष्णा वॉन्टेड जस्टिस देयरफॉर वी शुड ऑल्सो फाइट फॉर जस्टिस जस्ट लाइक वी डिस्कस द प्रीवियस पोजिशन दैट वी डोंट नो द माइंड ऑफ द लीडर ब्रह्माजी वाई डिड ही सपोर्ट दक्षा ही हैड अ रीजन सिमिलरली कृष्णा हैड अ रीजन वाई ही वॉन्टेड justice for Arjuna and the Pandavas because he felt that the society would benefit if the Pandavas ruled. So the way we should look at justice, the conclusion is that for personal consequence, we should not seek justice. There is no scope in Vaishnava society basically. But for social welfare, one should try to seek justice. Even Krishna himself in the episode of Shamantak Mani, when there were allegations on him by his own, Mathura Vasis, Dwarka Vasis, he took the step of justifying and getting his name cleared. Why? Why did he fight for justice? Because otherwise the society would be ruined. So, people would be misled, would not be able to follow him. So, that is the understanding we should have. So Lord Shiva says, these demigods are like children. I don't take their offenses very seriously. The only reason I cursed them was so that I could correct them. And then Daksha, Lord Shiva forgave Daksha and others, but he did award some proportionate punishment. He forgave only partially. So that is also a very beautiful theme we see in Bhagavatam. It requires fine intelligence to give punishment proportionate to the offense. So Lord Shiva very carefully, somebody who had smiled with wrong intention, let his teeth be broken. Somebody who had signaled eyebrows and encouraged Daksha, eyebrows? And then the Kul Guru Bhrigu Muni's mustache come off and take the mustache of a goat. Let Daksha get a head of a goat because that was his ultimate material identity. You want to be a progenitor? Goat is a better progenitor. Take it. So, what was I saying? Yeah, similar way, Dhruv Maharaj, although he repented, sorry I asked for the wrong thing, but Lord Vishnu did give him material enjoyment first, kingdom first, and then he said, then you come. So, we should be very careful because whatever we desire or act, that will be separately dealt on a case-by-case basis. So, what happens is, now, Daksha and Shiva are again back together. The situation is the same. What has changed? The disposition of heart has changed. And that is the goal of bhakti. If what is spiritual and what is material, it doesn't depend on the situation or the circumstance or the physical location. It depends on what is our mental disposition. What is the most stark example of this? Ganga is supposed to purify you of your sins. People from all over the world go to Ganga to take a dip and purify themselves. But unfortunately, Manigriva and Nalkumbher were performing sinful activities within Ganga. So therefore, again, Narad Muni had to give them mercy in the form of a curse. So it is the disposition that we carry that we will see the world around us as spiritual or material, positive or negative. Just one last point. So now Daksha is seeing Shiva not with envy, but with affection. And with that affection, his real senses were awakened. So this same principle applies to our sambandha basically. Sambandha gyan is understand you are a servant of Krishna and serve him. So if we have that affection for Krishna, for Guru, then our real senses will be awakened. The depth of abhideya depends on the strength of the sambandha. We'll be able to do our डे टू डे प्रोसेस ऑफ भक्ति सीरियसली सिंसियरली डीपली इफ आर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ संबंध इज वेरी स्ट्रांग. सो देर आर डिफरेंट लेवल्स एट विच समन कैन अ पर्सन कैन बी कन्विंस्ड टू डू समथिंग. प्रभुपाद राइट्स दैट द बेसिक लोएस्ट लेवल इज फोर्स. एनिमल्स आर कंट्रोल्ड एंड डायरेक्टेड बाई फोर्स. सो दैट इज फॉर द एनिमलिस्टिक क्लास ऑफ मैन. शो देम अ स्टिक. दैट इज कॉल्ड आर्ग्यूमेंटम एट बाइक्यूलम एज टॉट टू अस बाय हेमरूप प्रभु. हायर रीजन वन स्टेप अबव स्टिक इज रीजन. ट्राई टू रीजन एंड दिस इज फॉर योर गुड. सी द लॉन्ग टर्म. इवन इफ दैट डजंट वन स्टेप हायर देन दैट इज इंट्यूशन. आई थिंक आई एम नॉट दिस बॉडी. दिस इज I have a good intuition of this, and therefore to pursue the interest of my body is not in my best interest. And even higher than intuition is affection or emotion or love. That is where bhakti becomes powerful compared to yoga or jnana or karma, because they don't have such a powerful motivation as emotion. They have some lower motivations. So best is to be inspired from within. Govind Prabhu said in one of the discussion that, you know, you should not feel bad that I did this service for so long and now either it is not bearing result or it doesn't happen the way you see it. So what should be our approach? That I am doing something for my swanta sukha. If the reason for you doing something is external, you are opening yourself to danger, because external will change. So why I am helping others? For my swanta sukha. It is my need. We had this seminar on needs, and you know, in one of our brahmacharya retreats by Anand Gopal Prabhu. Yeah. So he said, don't think you are doing a favor to someone by being nice to them. It is your need to be nice which you are getting fulfilled through them. So okay, good way to look at it. Then Daksha starts the sacrifice. Now everything is resolved. So as soon as he puts ghee, Lord Vishnu comes. So see the effectiveness. If harmony is there and dharma is followed, the results will come quicker than we expect. And Lord's beautiful form is described. Demigods offer prayers and respects to... This is also very interesting. Every person who is offering prayers to Lord Vishnu is offering prayer according to their own experience, realization and background. Some prayers are not the prayers of a pure devotee. They are prayers without understanding the complete potency of power of Krishna. And in some prayers, some are just trying to, you know, put a goli and blame others and say, now that he has a chance to speak on the mic, he's saying, I thank you, but this person did wrong. So some of those prayers are like that. Even Daksha, in fact, after all this, even he, in his prayers, comments on Lord Shiva. Or he hints at, he glorifies Vishnu, but he indirectly says that, you are so nice, but other people are not so nice. So he doesn't, that offensive mentality doesn't leave him. And therefore, after 5 manvantaras, he again commits a Vaishnavaprat by offending Narad Muni. So, this is the stickiness of offensive mentality. Lord basically comes and instructs Daksha that, please understand, Brahma, Shiva and me are the same for the purposes of creation. So, please don't differentiate. Don't see difference and achieve peace. That is the message of the Lord. So, what is, Prabhupada writes, what is devotee's way of seeing oneness? Is that I want to do good for all, irrespective of who they are. So, preaching is the manifestation of devotee's way of seeing oneness. And then Daksha worships all three gods together, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So, this gives you, this was a recap of what we heard over, I think, 1 year. That's what 234 verses to complete. I think it took more than 1 year. So we tried to do something in 45 minutes. Any questions or comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। दीज आर ऑल फ्रॉम आर क्लासेस इन विद्यापीठ, नॉट माई ओरिजिनल पॉइंट्स बाय द वे। गौरांग दर्शन प्रभु, राधिका वल्लभ प्रभु, निमाई लीला प्रभु।